This is the weekly roundup of the John Lothian News Daily Update for the week of November 23rd, 2020. This is Patrick Lothian with the Daily Update of commentaries and stories for the first read section of the John Lothian Newsletter for November 23rd, 2020. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit them at eurex.com. A note from John Lothian. Stories over the weekend, like this one from the Washington Post, claim Senator Kelly Loeffler had a positive as well as a negative test of COVID-19. A source close to the senator told me Sunday that her latest test was negative and she was feeling well. I hope it stays that way. Senator Loeffler was featured in a story in Newsweek about getting into a fight with Representative Ilhan Omar. About her support of Loeffler's opponent in the Georgia Senate race, Reverend Raphael Warnock. The subject of the Twitter spat was a subject as old as Christianity. Whether you can serve Christ and serve in the military. Religious arguments are not the best subject to get into during a political battle, even if your opponent is a minister. We have bigger issues at the moment. Thank you to Elizabeth Gish of the CME Group for her donation to the JLN MarketsWiki Education GoFundMe campaign. Elizabeth is a longtime CME technology executive serving as a managing director, Global Market Solution and Services. Thank you, Elizabeth, and to all of you who have given and all who have yet to give. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by donating to the GoFundMe campaign. IEX has a podcast series called Boxes Plus Lines, with an episode on market structure podcasts with Ronan Ryan and John Ramsey. On LinkedIn, Milo Hamilton has posted a history of the rice markets since 1981. Rumi Morales is now a board member of the National Organization of the Girl Scouts of the USA. Please sign up to participate in FIA Inc.'s fundraiser for Futures for Kids on December 8th. The ticket price helps offset the cost of hosting an event and all proceeds. Plus, the funds raised in the silent auction and live auctions will go directly to Futures for Kids to support their fantastic charities. JLN will not publish on Thursday or Friday of this week. We are taking the Thanksgiving holiday off, and I am giving the JLN team an extra day off, as Thursday is expected to be a slow news day. They have earned it. Have a great day and stay safe, and treat people the same way that you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. A note from John Lothian. Now a note from Sarah Rudolph. This morning, the Intercontinental Exchange tweeted that it saw a record in 2020 for white sugar tenders. This year saw 2.1 million tons of sugar delivered, a 75% jump over last year, the tweet said. Another note from Sarah Rudolph. Today, November 23rd, is Fibonacci Day, honoring Leonardo Bonacci, aka Leonardo Fibonacci, one of the most influential mathematicians of the Middle Ages. The date corresponds to the first number of the Fibonacci sequence, 1123. John Lothian News has a story, Andy Bush Post-Election Regulatory Analysis. Andy Bush is the former Chief Marketing Information Officer of the U.S. Commodity Futures Trading Commission. Today, he is a consultant, speaker, and market analyst offering his unique perspective and analyst to corporate clients. John Lothian News asked him for his response to the recent U.S. presidential and congressional elections. You can watch the video at johnlothiannews.com. A new episode of The Spread this week, The Spread Cleared for Retirement. This week on The Spread, the CME announces the launch of new volatility indices, the OCC's David Prosperi retires, and more. You can watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. From the NFA, request for public representative nominations for NFA's board of directors. The terms of five of the NFA's current public representatives, Douglas E. Harris, Charles P. Nostro, Ronald S. Oppenheimer, Todd E. Petzl, and Michael R. Schaefer, will expire at the board of directors board regular annual meeting on February 18, 2021. NFA is seeking nominations to fill the five public representative vacancies. NFA's Articles of Incorporation permit public representatives to be nominated by either NFA members or non-members. A comment by John Lothian, let's recommend some good candidates and make the committee have to work hard to choose. From Gabriel von Rogue of the New York Post, Pat Quinn, co-founder of the Ice Bucket Challenge, dead at 37 after losing ALS battle. The New York man who co-founded the viral Ice Bucket Challenge died Sunday after a long battle with ALS, the disease he tirelessly raised awareness for until he succumbed himself. Pat Quinn, a 37-year-old from Yonkers, was diagnosed with ALS in 2013 and soon after created the Social Media Challenge as a way to raise money to find a cure for the illness, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease. A note from John Lothian, sad news, but what an inspiration. The Ice Bucket Challenge was brilliant. From Andrea Papouk of Bloomberg, women in finance must ask for promotion, unlike men, a survey. Australian survey shows men offered promotions much more often. On average, men in fund management paid twice as much as women. Far fewer women than men are promoted in the financial industry unless they first ask for seniority, a sign of institution gender bias, according to a study in Australia. The survey of 2,000 financial industry professionals showed 76% of men were offered a promotion at least once without requesting it, compared to 57% of women. The study was compiled by lead researchers Ardea Investment Management and Australian National University in conjunction with industry experts. Note from Sarah Rudolph, like Alice and the Red Queen, women in finance must run twice as fast as men to get anywhere. A story by Lisa Ward of the Wall Street Journal, how the coronavirus pandemic is changing philanthropy, from mutual aid networks to emergency response funds. Communities and nonprofits have sped up efforts to get help where it's needed most. The COVID-19 pandemic is forcing donors, volunteers, and nonprofit organizations to rethink how they give and receive charitable aid. In many communities, individuals are banding together to help neighbors directly. Elsewhere, institutional donors are creating COVID-19 emergency funds, making grants less restrictive and investing more in minority-led charities. Those who have long advocated for philanthropy reform say the changes, if they take root, could result in more flexible and equitable forms of charitable giving. A note from John Lothian, what is it not changing? And now today's top three. Our top story on Friday was Goldman partners with Taste for Speed says market has hit limit, from Bloomberg. Second was Newsweek's Trump can still win in Armageddon scenario for markets, JP Morgan warns. A repeat from Thursday's top three. Third was NYSE sales head departs for role at HFT Jump Trading, from The Trade. This is Patrick Lothian with a daily update of commentary and stories from the First Read section of the John Lothian newsletter for November 24th, 2020. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit them at eurex.com. A note from John Lothian. To download the CFTC's interim report on the April 20 WTI implosion, there's a link in the article. If you would like to read the NFA's 2020 annual review, you can also find a link in the article. The quantitative brokers team is hiring. There's a link in the article to learn more. In Elmhurst, Illinois, we received our first snow of the season. It was just a dusting of snow on the grass, but I believe it was brought on by neighbors putting up their Christmas decorations before Thanksgiving. We have not received any new donations for our JLN Markets Wiki Education GoFundMe campaign. Please help us preserve industry history by giving to our GoFundMe campaign in the article below. There is also a video about our mission of Markets Wiki Education to learn more about our efforts to educate the next generation and capture the stories of generations of open outcry traders and electronic trading pioneers. I'm going to deep fry a turkey again this year for Thanksgiving. It is a very fast process, though dangerous, but it tastes great. Have a great day and stay safe, and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. A note from John Lothian. And now a note from Sarah Rudolph. Via the Washington Post, although there is no evidence of having a beard per se makes you more or less vulnerable to the coronavirus, according to Amesh Adalja, an infectious disease specialist at Johns Hopkins University, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, has an infographic that addresses 36 different types of facial hairstyles and whether or not they are N95 mask friendly. A note from Matt Rabel, the OCC's cleared volumes Friday was 28.6% higher than its year-to-date average. From the CFTC, CFTC staff publishes interim report on NYMEX WTI crude contract trading on and around April 20, 2020. Staff of the Commodity Futures Trading Commission's Division of Market Oversight and Office of the Chief Economist today published an interim report regarding the circumstances leading up to on and around April 20, 2020 for the West Texas Intermediate Light Sweet Crude Oil Futures Contract, traded on the NYMEX. A comment by John Lothian, a whodunit without a who, not even a whatdunit. From Jemima Kelly of FT, the Queen expresses an interest in blockchain. One must say one finds it all a little surprising. Remember the Center for Evidence-Based Blockchain? They're the ones who put out a report back in September that found that despite having set up a dedicated center for it, evidence-based blockchain was actually pretty hard to come by. A comment by John Lothian, is this the Queen's Gambit? And now Monday's top three. Our top story Monday was the trades. NYSE sales head departs for role at HFT Jump Trading, a repeat from yesterday's top three. Second was Bloomberg's Goldman partner with Taste of Speed says market has hit limit about Goldman Sachs global co-head of futures and equities electronic trading, Elizabeth Martin. Third was CFTC's Tabert. Global standards of crypto and CCPs are top industry priorities, from the FIA's Market Voice. This is Patrick Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the First Read section of the John Lothian newsletter for November 25th, 2020. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit them at eurex.com. A note from John Lothian. Steve Arbach of the OCC is the latest contribution to the JLN MarketsWiki Education GoFundMe campaign. Steve is a vice president for strategic planning and development with the OCC. He had a long career with SunGard, where he was the president of SunGard Futures Systems. Thank you to Steve and all who have given and all who have yet to give. We are thankful for all the support of our efforts to preserve industry history. He helped us do just that by donating to our GoFundMe campaign. Recently, I interviewed former CBOT employees John Vanderbleek and Tom McCabe for the Path to Electronic Trading series. They were both at the CBOT and helped manage floor and screen trading. I also interviewed Nils Robert Pearson, formerly of Cinnober and now of Vermiculus, who has been trading and clearing systems that helped electronic trading flourish. He was one of the chairmen of OMLX and deputy CEO of OM, making him a true pioneer of electronic trading. Additionally, I interviewed CBOE trader Sheldon Cohen, a longtime options trader, and Tom Asher, a former CBOE vice chairman and non-executive chairman of Quantitative Brokers, for the Open Outcry Traders History Project. Tom Asher's interview also had some The Path to Electronic Trading in it, as he was the CEO of Nasdaq Life, which helped bring electronic trading to single stock futures. I also interviewed David Prosperi about his long career in public relations and corporate communications. Look for these interviews to come out in the next few weeks. Scott Knutson, the former head of trading at IMC in Chicago, who is now the CEO of Cove Markets, announced on LinkedIn that the latest version of their software is out, Cove Trader version 1.7.12. The software allows you to trade on multiple cryptocurrency exchanges and get the best price for cryptocurrency pairs trading. The tool looks at price, fees, and liquidity to help you find the best price for your trade. He has an impressive team behind Cove Markets, and it is an interesting concept for a multi-exchange platform. I refuse to mention the fee reimbursement promotion. The thought for today. On the day I was born, for a very short time, I was the youngest person in the world. Have a great day and stay safe, and treat people the way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. From John Lothian. And now a note from Sarah Rudolph. Women in listed derivatives, WILD, is partnering with Women's Money Lab to host a virtual lunchtime session of The Power of Financial Courage. It will take place December 8, 2020, from 12 p.m. to 1:15 p.m. Central. The description reads in part, "Too often women are socially conditioned to believe that talking about money is impolite or even dangerous. This money silence often leads to a lack of confidence and/or courage related to money issues. Studies show that financial courage for women is a far more important factor in improving financial wellness than actual financial knowledge. Join the Women's Money Lab and WILD on an interactive discussion as we explore how to build your financial courage. Zoom details will be provided upon request. You can go to the article to register." From John Lothian News, James Murphy talks Murphy & McGonigal and Law Firm of the Year Award. James Murphy is a co-founder and chairman of Murphy & McGonigal, a law firm that was recently named Law Firm of the Year by the 2021 edition of U.S. News. John Lothian interviewed Murphy over Zoom recently to ask him how his firm won the award, why it opened up offices in San Francisco and Chicago recently, and what role innovation in the financial services industry plays in their approach to serving clients. You can watch the video at johnlothian.com. From the CFTC, CFTC approves transfer of Minneapolis Grain Exchange contract market designation. The Commodity Futures Trading Commission announced today it had issued an order approving a request from Minneapolis Grain Exchange to transfer its CFTC contract market designation due to its acquisition by Miami International Holdings, Inc. Upon closing of the acquisition, MGEX's designation will be transferred to a new legal entity, Minneapolis Grain Exchange, which is a wholly owned subsidiary of MIH. Comment by John Lothian, from Minneapolis to Miami, that is a good trade. And now Tuesday's top three. Our top story Tuesday was NYSE sales head departs for rollout HFT jump trading, third time in the top three. Second was Quantitative Brokers jobs page. They are looking to fill a number of positions. Third was the download of the CFTC interim staff report, trading in NYMEX WTI crude oil futures contracts leading up to on and around April 20th, 2020. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit them at eurex.com. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps us find new listeners. Also, if you aren't already a John Lothian News subscriber, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. This has been Patrick Lothian filling in for John Lothian. Have a great Thanksgiving weekend.